Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Do you trust God enough to tell him what you actually want? What you actually need? Do you think he's actually there? That he's listening? That he cares about you? Are you worried that if you did tell him, he might not answer, might not show up or come through, might disappoint you? Let me put this question another way. Have you ever been just desperate enough to give God a shot? When is the last time you came to the end of yourself, the end of your own strength, your own resources, your own understanding, and just threw up your hands and said, "Okay, God, over to you." Or, "Where are you, God? What are you doing? When are you going to show up?" Now, those sound like pretty honest prayers to me, perhaps the most honest prayers. If you're thinking about prayers of that type, I want to show you a short clip from a movie called The Apostle from 1997, written, directed, and starring Robert Duvall. So let's watch that.
"I said to my wife, they stole my church. That's a temple I built for you. And I'm going to yell at you because I'm mad at you. I can't take it. Give me a sign or something. Blow this pain out of me. Give it to me tonight, Lord God Jehovah. If you won't give me back my wife, give me peace. Give it to me, give it to me, give it to me, give me peace. Give me peace. I don't know who's been fooling with me. You are the devil. I don't know. And I won't even bring the human into this. He's just a mutt, so I'm not even going to bring him into it. But I'm confused. I'm mad. I love you, Lord. I love you. But I'm mad at you. I am mad at you. So deliver me tonight, Lord. What should I do? Now tell me. Should I lay hands on myself? What should I do? I know I'm a sinner and a once in a while womanizer, but I'm your servant. Since I was a little boy, you brought me back from the dead. I'm your servant. What should I do? Tell me. I've always called you Jesus. You always call me Sonny. What should I do, Jesus? This is Sonny talking now.
All right.
Hello?
Miss Dewey, it sounds like you got a wild man over there carrying on and hollering and whatever. I'm just, who is that over there? Is that your son or who is that?
Oh, well, that is my son. That he's, I tell you, ever since he was a little bitty boy,
uh-huh.
He sometimes talks to the Lord and sometimes he yells at the Lord. And tonight he just happens to be yelling at him.
Well, could you tell him to talk a little softer or whatever?
In today's gospel reading, we have the famous story of Thomas. Doubting Thomas, he is often called. But when I read the story, I'm not sure that's quite right. Maybe rather than doubting Thomas, it should be honest Thomas, seeking Thomas. Thomas had questions, and he wanted answers. You know, when we look elsewhere in the Gospels, what we find is bold Thomas. When Jesus, after the Last Supper in the Garden of Gethsemane, is telling his disciples about his departure, his death, and telling them that they knew where he was going, and all of them were confused about what he meant, it was Thomas who finally piped up and said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" To which Jesus famously responded, "I am the way and the truth and the life." When we look elsewhere in the Gospels, what we find is courageous Thomas. When Jesus returned to Bethany to see his friend Lazarus, who was dying, even though it was very dangerous to do so, it was Thomas who said, "Let's go with him so that we can die too." courageous Thomas. Maybe foolish Thomas, but courageous Thomas. And in today's story, from the gospel, why didn't Thomas see Jesus for the first time? Well, because he's the only one of the disciples who wasn't frightened and hiding out in that upper room with the door locked. That's the reason he wasn't there for the first encounter. Thomas was honest, seeking, bold, courageous, and I think faithful. Because Thomas trusted Jesus to ask for what he really needed, what he really wanted. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. Thomas asks for what he needs. Thomas practically dares Jesus to show up. And you know what? Jesus does. Jesus answers Thomas's honest prayer. Put your finger here, Thomas, and see my hands, Jesus says. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. I am real. I am here. Trust me. That's what Jesus says to Thomas. When I was in college, I had a good friend who did not believe in God. Perhaps she had in the past, but then life had gotten hard. And she had decided that either God didn't exist, or if he did, he wasn't worth knowing, because he clearly didn't care about her. She decided that she was alone, that life was all up to her. And so she put her head down, worked full-time, went to college full-time, and put herself through debt-free. But then she started having anxiety attacks. She came to the end of herself, of her own resources, her own strength. She had a few friends who were Christians, and they seemed to have a bit more peace, a bit more joy than she did. So she tried going to church a few times, and it wasn't so bad. Then she began to read some Christian books. One of those books was called Basic Christianity by the English evangelical John Stott. Now, when I say evangelical, I'm speaking theologically, not politically. Evangelical is a word that was invented by 16th century Anglicans, English Christians. It just means good news people. But that's a story for another time. In any event, in this book, Basic Christianity, Stott writes this little prayer, which he called a seeker's prayer, a seeker's prayer. And it goes like this. God, if you exist, and I don't know if you do, and if you can hear this prayer, and I don't know if you can, I want to tell you that I am an honest seeker after the truth. Show me if Jesus is your son and the savior of the world. And if you bring conviction to my mind, I will trust him as my savior and follow him as my Lord. And she prayed that prayer. And after she prayed that prayer, she kept praying. She kept telling God the truth, kept asking for what she wanted, what she needed. And God answered her. And she came to trust him, to believe in him, because he showed up. Jesus showed up. And so I wonder, what is it that you want from Jesus today? What is it that you need? Have you told him? Have you taken it to him in prayer? You know, there's that great old children's song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Every sin and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. It goes on, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what a needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have you taken what you need, what you want to Jesus, the way that my friend did, the way that Thomas did? Maybe you can't even put it into words. Maybe it's just a feeling, a longing, an aching. And if you're in that boat, I want you to listen to Paul's words in his letter to the church in Rome. I'm going to read a translation called The Message to you, which is a little more colloquial language, because I think it really drives home the point to this beautiful passage. Here's what Paul says. The moment we get tired of waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us along. If we don't know how to pray or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in us and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves. He knows our condition and keeps us present before God. Did you hear that? Even when we don't know what to pray, it doesn't matter because God is praying in us and through us and for us, and he knows us better than we know ourselves. What incredibly good news that is today. So you know what happened to Thomas after his prayer was answered? After Jesus showed up and said, put your finger here, put your hand here. You know where Thomas ended up? India. India. In 52 AD, less than 20 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, Thomas landed on the Kerala coast on the southwest part of India, where he founded 7 churches before his martyrdom a couple of decades later. Some scholars believe that he may even gone on missionary trips to China and Indonesia, telling people about Jesus, baptizing, forgiving sins, probably telling the story over and over again about how he wasn't quite sure, and then Jesus showed up and said, touch my hands, touch my side. Talk about courageous and bold and faithful. So here's our lesson for today. Talk to Jesus. Tell him what you want. Tell him what you need. Like, I would really love for that, whatever that power tool in the background is going right now, I would love for that to stop. Lord, would you make that stop? Okay, no, not yet. His answer for today is wait. But talk to Jesus. Tell him what you want, what you need. Bring him your questions. Bring him your wordless sighs and your aching groans, as Paul says. Because Jesus wants to hear from you, and he will answer. He will show up. And when he does, who knows where he will take you. Amen.